This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Believe in Everything Auburn is brought to you by our friends at Mellon. And if you need an example, look no further than my co-host, Jay Cam, who is rocking their hat, which first instinct, you're going to notice the durability of these. They are built to last 5 times longer than any other hat because of their antimicrobial properties so that sweat and water doesn't break down the hat. No sweat stains, no smell. If you need to wash it, they go right back to their shape. They've really thought of everything with these hats. They're super comfortable, and you can really feel the difference in the materials that they use. They also, this is probably my favorite part, they have different shape options to match everyone's style, everyone's face shape, because not everyone wants the exact same shape hat. So you can go on their website, and they have a fit finder, so they can break down what size and shape is going to suit you best. They are snapback, but they offer small, classic, and extra large to fit every size head. Now, they rarely offer discounts, so if you want to try one out, now is the time to do it. You can head over to mellon.com/Auburn. That is spelled M-E-L-I-N. And you can use code Auburn, and they're going to give you 30% off your purchase. That code is only good for 30 days, so you want to go ahead and get on it. It's a great time to buy your Father's Day present if you haven't done that already. So again, mellon.com/Auburn, promo code Auburn for 30% off.
Now, Taylor have just gone through the whole
ad
background and ad.
Okay.
Now you got to add to that. The reason you want that kind of hat, because the snapback fits all the heads.
All the big heads.
Yeah, right. But, you know, back in the day, you know, fitted cap was the thing. Remember that? Remember the fitted cap was the thing? Like, you can go to the store, you get a half size or a fourth or three-fourths, and as you buy the hat, your head just keeps getting bigger and bigger as you continue to grow, and you can't wear that hat that you spend $32 for.
Upsetting.
That's upsetting. So then, you know, so then I started wearing the truck driver snapback hats, you know? If you found your favorite, you never have to worry about getting rid of it.
Totally. So. No, I think it's genius. And if you want to give it a try, and you get a discount, so now's the time to do it. We are also brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all summer sports this season. We're talking MLB, golf, NBA, NHL playoff stats, all of them. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams and get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on pretty much every sport out there, like I just said. So head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. War Damn Eagle, everyone, welcome in. I'm Taylor Davis. He's Jason Campbell. And this is another episode of Believe in Everything Auburn. We're so excited that you have joined us today. Quick little catch up with my main man, Jay Cam. And then we have a very exciting guest that we are going to be bringing in for the second half of this episode. Auburn running back Jeremiah Cobb. We're so pumped to get to talk to him. I actually was talking to him before we recorded. I had not spoken just one-on-one with him thus far, even though I've covered the games at Auburn and done plenty player interviews. I hadn't talked to him, and it's not because the kid doesn't have it, because he certainly does. Yeah. It just hadn't been that breakout time for him yet, but I suspect it's coming. So a lot of great insight from Jeremiah, and we'll get to know him a little bit better ahead of his sophomore campaign. So you want to stick around for that. Jay Cam is here. A little sleepy, a little groggy, but even a tough dad night can't keep him down from this podcast. So what's up, Jay Cam? You're also rocking another really cool shirt that I'm jealous of, but add it to the list. Yeah. It's Under Armour, though, so you won't be wearing it much longer.
Hey, I don't get paid by Under Armour or Nike. So I'm wearing whatever
shirt. I'll wear whatever someone sends me.
Now, if Under Armour and Nike want to come and, you know, Nike, if you want to come and redo my deal from back in the day. And
there you,
know,
you go.
I put it to the side. I'm on your side. Just send me some orange, blue, and navy shoes and white to the crib, you know?
I like it.
Yeah, to the crib. And then send Taylor a pair, you know, got to have her to have a pair, you know? She rocks the sidelines, so
sure
she
works
in. So Nike, if you hear us, hey, holla at your boy.
It's great advertisement. Either way you go. What size shoe are you?
So I wear a size 14. Now
that's a big old foot.
Yeah, my shoes are hard to find in
store. I bet.
Especially in the Atlanta area. Like, there's a lot of former retired athletes that live here. So you don't get them right then. Like, you're just I got these shoe stores that I got. I'm not going to say them on the podcast.
Yeah, don't put them on blast.
Yeah, no, but you can go to, and, you know, it's all about connections. It's about who you know, not what you know sometimes. You know what I'm saying? So
that's true.
You know, and there's a lot of things been happening in around, you know, sports. And everyone saw a couple weeks ago, though, I posted on my IG page, closest to the pin on a par three. That was about 185 yards out.
Yep.
And all you're about to, oh, how did you do it? You didn't do this. So you get to the end of the tournament, you know, they hand out the award. I get the award. I'm just waving it. Hey, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Know,
you know, no big deal.
Yeah, no big deal. You know, it's what I do. You know, part two, wow. Yeah. So I get up there and everybody's questioning. So I just said, you know what? I got video because my guy Big Steve was sitting in the golf cart watching and videoing. So I just went and posted my video on IG.
Yeah.
The closest to the pin, you know, shot.
As you should. And,
yeah. You know, so all the haters could hate.
Speaking of golf, a video went pretty viral from the Regions tournament last week. I think it was like the PGA account put a video comparing the swings of a few head coaches. It was Nick Saban, Kalen DeBoer, Kirby Smart, and Hugh Freeze. And it got a lot of attention because Hugh's swing is one of the craziest things I have ever seen. Did you see this video?
I haven't seen the video, but I know a lot of people play golf with him. They say he's a really good golfer, though.
100%.
Yeah, even so,
I mean, it looks like he hits the freaking crap out of it. But people, even Smiley Kaufman, do you know who he is? The pro golfer who he played at LSU. He took freeze frames of the video. Freeze frame. Creative. But he took still shots of the video of Hugh's club because it changes direction multiple times, like mid swing. That thing gets a full roundhouse smack to the ball, but it looks like he hits the crap out of it. And I saw a couple people in the comments, like other assistant coaches and stuff, being like, anyone hating on Hugh's swing, he would be in your wallet if you played him. Like, it works for him, but it's the craziest swing I've ever seen.
See, that's the problem. See, sometimes you can be your own, like, you can be a really good golfer to yourself.
Yeah.
And you get caught up watching these guys on TV, the pros and everything.
Trying
and
to just duplicate.
Yeah, you want to get a golf coach. You want to go see, can this guy help your swing to shoot in the 60s and the 70s? It ain't happening. You know, so you're not shooting the 60s, 70s. These guys are pros for a reason.
Yeah.
So if you're breaking 90s and mid 80s and low 80s, and, you know, if you're golfing 3 days a week, you're doing really good. So, you know, these guys, man, golf really comes down to putting. And I've seen some ugly golf swings, but it gets there.
True.
But the guys that win the most are the 60-year-olds I play with, the 70-year-old I play with, because they can putt. You know, like they know all the little lines of putting, you know, the stance, you know, and some people hold it up over one eye. Some people put their legs and square down here and see, okay, which way is it? Is it tilting? You know, like, it's all these different parameters that you learn, and you just try to implement all these things. And finally, you just get to a point, you say, you know what? I can't do all of these things, so let me just do what I do. And that's when I started becoming a really good golfer. That's when I just started doing
it your way.
Yeah, Jay Cam's way.
I like it. Well, you haven't played with Coach Freeze before?
Not yet. I'm trying to get myself prepared because those guys don't take it lightly. I played with Coach Prime one time, and, you know, I'm just like, dude, like, can I get some strokes? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you play golf a lot more than I do. Like, But they want to talk so much north and not give you any strokes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can I get five strokes? Can I get three? Like, no.
I'm not surprised at all. I'm going to send you that video, though, because it's pretty hilarious. But I do know that Coach Freeze, he loves to golf. Not that there's a ton of time for them to be golfing these days, because coaching is truly 365 days a year right now. But he is in good company being around Auburn. The men's golf team just brought home an SEC championship. So huge congrats to them. They're day one into regionals. They're in the Baton Rouge regional in the NCAA tournament. So hopefully they can make a run there as well. But bringing home an SEC title after defeating Vanderbilt. So huge congrats to them. We also begin regionals for Auburn softball. They are at the Tallahassee regional this week. So maybe they can go on a run as well. Sports continues, but school is out. We done. School is done for the spring semester. Congrats to all the graduates who walk away with a degree from Auburn. It is quiet time on the plains, but not for long. Jeremiah Cobb told me, actually, during the interview that summer classes start in 3 days, so they will all be heading back. Do most of the players, like, go home for, like, 2 weeks and then come back for summer?
Yeah, that's typically what happened. You go home for 2 weeks, and typically back in the day, we used to come after Memorial Day weekend. But for whatever reason, now it seems like they pump things up and they start classes a little bit before Memorial Day weekend.
This year is all kind of out of whack. I don't know if it was because of leap year or just the way the count, like, everyone gets two bye weeks this season. We haven't even talked about that because the way the calendar falls, there's some NCAA rule that kickoff weekend, because, you know, there is week zero and those have to be approved by the NCAA as like special circumstances. And those teams get two bye weeks, but that's not everyone. But the law says that official kickoff weekend cannot be earlier than the Thursday of Labor Day weekend. And this year it literally falls on that. So we are starting early. And so the way they were able to approve that with the NCAA laws is to give everyone two bye weeks this season. So that season is still long through the end of the calendar year, but everyone gets an extra break. It's this year in general is all kind of different.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that had to do with the 12-team playoff as well.
True.
Trying to move things up a week because you have to add an extra week now for playoff games. So many things that go into it. Just looking at the overall scheduling too, you got teams like USC having to travel all the way to the Big Ten. You know, you got – you know, other teams out west having to travel to the ACC and the ACC having to travel cross country. So I think a lot of that as well played into it from having these two separate bye weeks, which is it's a good thing because you're going to need them during these times. And, you know, so college football is changing, college basketball, everything's changing. It's almost like we're going to a totally new era.
Totally.
Everything. So, you know, it'd be interesting to see how things lay out this year.
Right.
Scheduling wise.
Right. Another thing that we haven't talked about really, the two new rules that are going to be put into play for the 2024 season. One is the 2-minute warning and the other is the in-helmet communication. Your thoughts on both of those?
I like it just because, you know, the ultimate level of the game is the NFL, right? So,
and we're pretty much trending toward that anyway.
Towards it. Once you start the NIL, you hire GMs, you got different people. So that's almost like minor league, right? So if you're going to gear up to play at the next level or compete with the same type of a layout, then everything needs to be transitional. So you think about the 2 minutes, like it makes sense and everything. And I think we need to get to a point where we're not changing rules every year. That's the thing. Yeah. It's like for the last 7 years, we're changing rules, whether how you tackle has changed every year, you know, like – I get the drop hip tackle, you know, as an offensive player, you don't like that tackle, you know, it can end your career. It ended Bo Jackson's career, you know, but defensive players don't like it because they're like, okay, we can't hit you too low, too high.
Yeah.
You know, like, how are we supposed to tackle you? You know, so it'd be interesting to see this year how things transition in that area. But how do quarterbacks handle the 2-minute drill?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a real indicator on some of them even getting drafted to the next level. But a lot of games, Taylor, will be won this year in the last 2 minutes.
The last drive. I love it.
Yeah, look at these schedules. Like, it's going to be very interesting.
What about the in-helmet communication? It doesn't seem like it's a huge, you know, change. But as a quarterback, when you go from not having that to then having it in the league, I think it's a huge advantage. And obviously, given the sign stealing and everything that we had to deal with last season, this eliminates that.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. And it also processes your time better. What I mean, like, people don't realize when I was in college, you had to spend so much time, like, with one of the assistant coaches after you finish all your meetings on going over every signal for every play. So you got to give signal for formation, signal for the play, signal for motions, all those different things. So, you know, it's like, it's not like a person just hold up and say, hey, here's, and it's just, nope. Back in the day, it was just like, it signals in formation, then it comes in motion, then it comes in play call, you know, all those different things. So, and then it comes in check mark alert. If you get such and such, check to this certain run. And you have to know it as a quarterback. When it goes check mark, you have to know what the alert is just from game planning during the week. Nowadays, these guys run these fast offenses. They go so fast, they don't have to do a whole lot of those things. So the fact that they're able to do voice control within the helmet really makes their time management spent more on film study and those type of things, rather than have to try to figure out, hey, let me have four quarterbacks over here shooting the guns. You know what I'm saying? So
do you have a mic in there as well? Like, the can the coaches hear the quarterback, or is it just a speaker that the quarterback can hear the coaches?
Well, the quarterback is the only one that can hear. So the quarterback hears the one that's calling over the microphone. So whether it's the receiver coach that's getting it from the offense coordinator, whether Coach Freeze calls it into, you know, Marcus, and Marcus calls it into Thorne, or whether Coach Freeze go directly from his voice straight to Thorne. And then once it gets a certain seconds on the clock, game clock, on the play clock, it shuts off. So if you don't get it called by the time that it gets to a certain seconds, it's usually 16 when I was in the NFL. If you didn't get it called by then, it shuts off. So your communication,
I didn't know that,
can't communicate no more. So now, you know, so
could Peyton ask a question and be heard? No. So it's just the speakers.
Just the speakers, yeah.
Okay, interesting. So there still will be sideline communication. You still are likely to see quarterbacks need to run over, get clarity on something, ask a head coach something, even though he's getting calls. Interesting.
Typically, you see a quarterback do this. You know, that means, I didn't hear you. Give it to me
again. Do it again. Got it. Okay. Go
like this, you know, like, hey, I can't hear you. Headset working. So anytime you see those things, that just means the quarterback is not getting communication from the sideline.
Gotcha. The big posters that they hold up on the sidelines that have all of the weird freaking pictures, are any of them, or are most of them, like, fake?
Not all of them. Some of them are just, you know, personnel, you know. So if you see certain personnel, you know, that's a way for the defensive guys or offensive guys to say, oh, this is the personnel they're in.
Right.
Or this is their big package, or this is, you know, it's just different things. And then offensively, you know, sometimes it's just, it can be a little bit of a trap offensively, because you're trying to make them look at a poster and think that, oh, when they see that poster,
That's what I'm saying. Like, are any of them actually distractions? Kind of like a hitting coach or a pitching coach. You know, they do 50 million of these, but it really was just one move that you were supposed to get the call
from. A lot of it's smoke and mirrors.
Yeah.
It's real, you know, so it's just up to the opponent to find out, dang, which one's real, which one's smoke and mirrors.
Totally.
You know? So that's the game within the game, which is going to eliminate a lot of that, because you have to become creative. Your third screen quarterback and your fourth screen quarterback, you usually the guys that got to sit in the room and become creative about, hey, what's something
what we can come up with,
right? But you got to go back to what you did last week too, you know? So you got to compare to make it look similar. You know? So there's a lot of chess matches that goes on within
the game,
you know? But now I doubt we see a lot of those signs just because of the end game, because not just the quarterback, the linebacker now gets it from the defense.
Yeah.
Later. So your Mike linebacker, or whoever they tag as the guy that they want to be the communicator, you know, he gets called in in the huddle. So he's able to pass out the defense, which works better for defenses because offenses go so fast.
Right.
That defensive guy not looking at the sideline trying to hurry up and get the call. You know,
right.
Here's it. He just, hey, signaling to his guys, everybody getting set. You know, so it makes the game go a lot faster defensively as well.
Right. This is why football is the greatest game on earth. Like, I'm sorry. It's just there's so much nuance to it. And it's just, it's so freaking entertaining. You'll never be able to convince me otherwise. As far as the transfer portal window, because there is technically still time and scholarship room for Auburn to add more pieces if they so choose. Hugh was asked about it recently and said that, you know, we're close to done if a linebacker or a DB came across our desks and seems to be a good fit, we would go that route. But otherwise, they're feeling pretty solid. So as far as you know about the additions that we have in comparison to the few that did hit the portal, how would you grade this kind of transfer portal window for the Tigers?
Yeah, I think they hit a lot of things they needed. You know, you came out of spring ball and you needed some defensive linemen depth-wise. You know, you had already picked up Gage Keys and Trill Carter in the portal to go along with Jason Jones. And, you know, you got Malik Blockton, you know, out of high school. You got, you know, TJ Lindsey and those guys that go along with Keldrick Falk. And then you got Jalen McLeod. And so to go out and get guys like a Keyron, you know, out of out of Arkansas State, the defensive end, you know, that was a big get to go and get, Bleedy out of Indiana and the Rakes kid from USC. You added so much depth to your defensive front, which is going to need it in the schedule that we're facing and everything. So I feel like, you know, I give them an A-plus in that area, you know, because they went out and got their needs that they needed. You know, offensively, you know, you needed a little bit more veteran support in the receiver room. You can't just count. Yeah. You know, completely on, you know, our young guys. You know, they're still freshmen. You know, they made some freshman mistakes and some big moments. You know, but you need some veterans. So you go out and you get Lambert Smith from Penn State. You get Robert Lewis from Georgia State. You go out and get, you know, the guy to play quarterback for Cal last year. You know, Jackson, and you bring him over and you put him at the receiver position, which he was playing a little bit of quarterback and receiver in that game against us out there. So you add some experienced guys, you lost some experienced guys, but the guys that you brought in, you know, are expected to play a lot and expected to show the young guys the ropes as well as why they're competing, playing.
Right.
So I feel like in those areas, we did really well from a receiver room. Got to give them an A-plus from recruiting class and signing. You know, Marcus,
yeah.
You know, guys did an outstanding job. You know, everyone asked the question. Coach Freeze was asked, I think about a week ago, why didn't he go out to transfer portal quarterback? And, you know, he said, because
if you didn't bring that up, I was about to.
Yeah, he was like, he didn't want to spend $1 million on a transfer quarterback that he's not, you know, unless it's a guaranteed guy, like a for sure, you know, someone. But he feel like, you know, he likes his room that he has, and he feels like a full year with Peyton, you know, going through offseason drills and everything gives him a better chance to win because he doesn't have to reteach the offense. And he feel like the pieces that he's put around him, he doesn't have to be a hero quarterback in order for them to get to where they want to go. He just needs to be able to manage and do things well enough to not, you know, make bad turnovers, you know, pretty much like be a leader. So, you know, in that area, you know, we didn't make any changes, and we'll see what moves forward after this year. He graduates, and then, you know, you still got your high school guys, and then you're probably going to sign another high school kid. So we'll see what that quarterback room shapes up at the end of the year come December. But overall, though, I feel like as a team, we made ourselves competitive enough to be in the hunt.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't love it, but I do feel like our schedule helps us more this year than it did last year. But, you know, we lost to New Mexico State. Never forget. So you really, truly cannot bank on the schedule getting easier and us having more East opponents than we do West. Honestly, it showed last year it doesn't freaking matter. Like, your team has to be clicking on all cylinders in today's age. And there was something that was lacking last year. And I mean, there were a lot of things, but to lose a game like that, there was something major internal that was lacking. So I'm hopeful. I really am, but it does feel like a risk to not go get a quarterback, just given what you've been shown so far and what, you know, there is risk associated with it because all these other pieces and all the potential in the world that they have, they're dependent on the quarterback play being effective. So it's definitely going to be interesting. I don't want to put too much on Peyton, but it is the responsibility that you assume as the quarterback. So I hope that this has been an off season of growth for him.
Well, Taylor, you're exactly right about it. People don't think about the importance of the number two in the quarterback position. And nowadays, everything, the playoff hopes is based off you winning games. Yep. So if your starting quarterback has to miss a game or two, you better have somebody that can get in there and that can win you those two ball games. Now, they're not 100%. Winning by itself, but you can't have a huge drop-off. Like, that person has got to be able to get in there and be able to help you stay consistent enough to win two games so that you don't fall out the playoff hunt. So he's right. You got to have at least, I would say at least three scholarship quarterbacks, you know, that
or is the dream
play. But in this day and era, you're blessed and at all costs if you can have two, because these guys transfer left and right because they want to go play.
Somewhere. Everybody wants to be the one. Right. It's so true.
Oh, so you got two, you're doing really good.
Yeah.
The biggest thing for Peyton is not just on the field. My biggest question mark for Peyton is leadership.
Agreed.
You know, I need you to show more leadership, you know, and I think that's the biggest thing as a quarterback is being able to galvanize guys and get guys to, you know,
buy in,
you know. So, but it also goes with your actions. Your actions have to show them that you're bought in. You have to show them that you're, you know, leading. So that's the biggest thing for him. If he can get into that aspect of it, then I think that'll help him. But a lot of, like you said, Taylor, a lot of memories for everybody is what you did for me lately. And that was the bowl game. And
100%.
You know, a lot of folks were very disappointed after that performance in the bowl game. And
hard not to be.
All right. So until they can get out there on the football field and shake that off and start winning some games against some quality opponents, it won't be the first game, you know, but once you get past the first game, start winning some quality opponents that show that, you know, this is why we decide to stick with the room that we decided to stick with. You know, that's going to be it's when you answer those questions.
It's also just like a little unsettling because not only have, you know, there been some question marks still associated with Peyton, but God forbid something happens to Peyton in week one or two. What the hell are we doing? I mean, we see it all the time that your main guy, your quarterback that has learned and had all the years and all the reps goes down early in season, and it is your backup quarterback that now holds the reins. And I'm not sure that we have a very clear two. So like, if we're not totally certain about Peyton, that's one thing. But the reality of need, like I did Georgia's spring game and Kirby said, I feel best when I have four scholarship quarterbacks that I feel totally confident in putting in there. Four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's even our two right now?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like Holden's been here for what, going on 3 years now. So you would hope that he could be a guy that could step in, but he didn't show it, you know.
Even in A-Day.
He struggled. So for me, the guy would be Hank Brown.
Hank.
You know, because Hank showed it in the bowl game. He also showed it in the spring game, you know, tossing that long pass to Cam Coleman down there. It kind of got the crowd electric. It kind of was the highlight of the spring game that kind of got things going a little bit. So,
yeah,
you know, I would probably have to think that Hank would be the person that would step in. And look, I'm confident in this kid because, you know, I saw him stand back there in the bowl game. And I know the circumstances were a little different, but just watching the ball come out of his hand, watching his decision and preciseness, you know, he wasn't like he was hesitant, you know, getting back there and just letting it go and kind of saw the same thing a little bit in the spring. So, you know, sometimes, you know, you can find a little diamond in the rough that you wouldn't even kind of expecting. So, you know, could Hank be that person and everything? So, you know, I definitely think if something was to happen to Peyton, he would probably have to be the guy for me.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I agree. It will be very interesting. We are getting closer and closer and closer. It really will be here before we know it. Media days will be here before we know it. That always happens in July, SEC media days. So we'll get some insight here in a couple months. So plenty to keep track on. We are going to get to our interview with Jeremiah Cobb. Quick little housekeeping. There will be no episode next week because your girl's heading to the Bahamas, and I'm not even apologizing for it. I'm so excited.
Oh, I see. It must be nice. It must be nice to be able to go to the Bahamas and sit beside a pool and just look at that great ocean view you know, and have your little, whatever you want to call it, Mai Tai, whatever it is. Yeah.
Probably a daiquiri.
Yeah, have your little daiquiri.
Yeah.
Alcohol-free daiquiri.
Oh, right, of course.
You know, and then, and then, you know, have you a couple cookies and prop your feet up, and yeah, who knows?
Taylor might meet
Mr. Right over.
Put it out there from your mouth to God's ears. Maybe it'll happen in the Bahamas. I'll keep y'all posted. But nonetheless, this episode will keep y'all entertained for the next couple of weeks, and then we'll be back. I guess that'll be the week after Memorial Day that we'll be back and get you caught up on whatever in the world's going on. We never know either, but you want to make sure that you're subscribed so that you get a notification every time we release an episode. And hope you enjoy this interview with Jeremiah Cobb. Seems like such a great kid, and we're lucky to have him. So without further ado, here's the interview. You know him, you love him. Everyone, welcome running back Jeremiah Cobb. War Eagle, thank you so much for coming on to the show. We have so much to talk to you about, but let's just kind of start off with the obvious. You have certainly gotten acclimated pretty quickly to your time at Auburn, but you learned so much in your first year, 2 years in college ball. So where you are now because of your early experiences in college ball, what kind of a player do you think you've already grown into?
Definitely, I've learned a lot this first year, definitely. And I definitely think I've grown into a better team player, just playing for the team, doing anything the team needs. And that's what I feel like I've grown in. So,
love it.
Jeremiah, you know, you're one of the fastest guys on the team. And everything.
The fastest.
You say you the fastest. Who would be your main competition if we had a race?
I would say JC Hart. He's in my class. He's probably actually the fastest on the team, to be honest. So he can move. Yeah.
Well, that's interesting because there was a rumor on Twitter a few weeks. You're shaking your head. You know exactly what I'm talking about. There was a rumor on Twitter a few weeks ago that the backs had just a straightaway speed competition and that Jarquez won. Can you confirm or deny that rumor?
Well, let me tell you, I definitely won the race because let's see who was all in there. Peyton Thorne, Hank Brown, there was a couple of players in there, and that they said I won the race. They all said that. So
okay.
Yeah.
So my thing is, I think if you won the race, that means you had to come across the line first. But most people were saying the eyes test said Jarquez came across the line first.
False.
No. I just need some video because the eye in the sky doesn't lie. We just need some video.
Well, I wanted to go see the cameras to the indoor facility, but they didn't have them running. So,
next time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, obviously, we have been talking a lot about what we were able to take away from spring ball that just wrapped up a few weeks ago. And you told me that summer classes are a few days away from starting. Yeah. So you'll have summer workouts and then we get into fall camp. Moral of the story is we'll be in Jordan-Hare suiting up to play some ball before we know it. So give us a little insight into this team and this year, because every team is a little bit different, right? You can keep some of the same pieces, obviously, Coach Freeze still being at the helm, but you really do start brand new with a new team and a new year. And I know that the way last season ended didn't sit well with you guys, and you didn't end up with the results that you wanted. So what's kind of been the attitude and the approach of this team in spring and as you get closer to summer and ultimately fall camp?
You can definitely feel a change in the locker room and then like being with all the guys, like you can definitely feel us like all coming closer.
Yeah.
And then you can just see the want when everybody's in the weight room working, when we're out passing, you know, running routes and all that. You can just see everybody the want that they want to go and win. So it's definitely a big change, especially with some of the coaches too. Very glad we got some of those guys. So I'm excited. It should be exciting.
Yeah, you talk about some of the coaches. You know, you got Coach Nitz, someone that knows Coach Freeze from Ole Miss days. I've known Coach Nitz for a while, a little bit myself, playing at the University of Southern Miss when I was playing in high school in Mississippi. So got a chance to learn a little bit about his career. You know, talk about a little bit about what Coach Nitz has brought. You know, he was a former running back himself. You know, you've had Coach Cadillac, now you got Coach Nitz, you know, two guys that played the position. Now, let's talk about what he brings as the offensive coordinator to that room.
Definitely just knowing like everything on the field. He knows what the routes they're running, like what the linemen, how they're moving, and he teaches all that to us running backs, and it's just very easy when we go out there to practice. So he brings that to the table, and he definitely brings the energy every day at practice. He gets out there and runs with us and hoops and hollers, so it's very exciting.
You are part of a long lineage. I mean, he just mentioned Cadillac, and obviously he also played with Ronnie Brown. You're part of a long lineage of really impressive running backs at Auburn and a lot of guys that have come before you. And you're part of that very quickly. You were a highly touted kid out of high school, not just the state, but the nation. How much pride do you take in being a part of that, but also kind of creating your own path and your own brand during your time at Auburn?
Definitely. There was a lot of great, you know, as they call all reuse, like Georgia, all those schools I could have went to.
Yeah.
But I just like looking back at Auburn, it's the place where running backs go and they succeed. So I wanted to be one of those guys, and I want to be one of those guys that people remember. Like, looking back and be like, oh, Jeremiah Copp's the best running back at Auburn. That's the kind of guy I want to be. So, yeah, definitely.
I love that.
You know, Auburn's had some really, really good guys. I don't know if you know Joe Cribbs or had a chance to meet Joe Cribbs, but he's one of the, you know, all-time running backs to come through Auburn, played in the NFL for a little bit of time and, you know, had a real successful career in the NFL. And y'all about the same size. And I played golf with him, so he's a pretty good golfer. But, you know, that's someone that you should pick his brain one day when you have an opportunity to talk to him. But when you talk about Jeremiah, when you last year was your first year in the SEC, you know, you got a chance to see the size, you got a chance to see the speed. What's the biggest thing that you learned from your first year that you be like, okay, this offseason I got to do this so that I can be better for my second year?
Definitely knowing the playbook way better. It's just like it makes the whole game so much easier. It doesn't matter their size, their speed. If you know what you're doing and what all your other players are doing, it just changes the game completely. So definitely learn the playbook more, and then just probably pass protection. Being a guy that can protect the quarterback and, you know, still run the ball and catch out the backfield. So
like we've talked about, the running game at Auburn has kind of been a staple. But it feels as though, not jumping the gun or anything, but there is reason to believe this offense is going to have a bit more dimension this year because of these receivers that we're bringing in. We got a little glimpse of it in A-Day with Cam Coleman, and we know some of the other names that have yet to jump in. But knowing what you know about the pieces that are joining into this offense, what kind of excitement does that give you guys from a running back perspective? Because you know, not that it'll take workload off of you guys, but it all feels like it could work a lot more effectively when you've got so many weapons at your disposal.
Yeah, definitely. I think bringing those guys in just opens up more things for the offense to do.
Totally.
You know, opens the run game up too, and just keeps every defense on their toes when you got players like that. So, yeah, it should be exciting. We're all excited about it. And, yeah, we can't wait. It'll be fun.
Did you grow up an Auburn fan being from Montgomery?
No, no. I grew up a Bama fan, yeah.
Did you? Wow.
Yeah, I did.
So was that kind of the goal, or it was your fandom was separate from where you wanted to play?
No, it kind of was the goal at one point. And then I got invited to one of the Iron Bowls. It was, I forgot what year it was, but I think Auburn lost, but I mean, it was just too, like, it was
electric.
Just like, yes, it was crazy. So I changed my mind completely. So
it didn't take much. And that drive from Montgomery to Auburn's a lot easier than Tuscaloosa. So,
oh yeah, definitely.
I think you made the right decision, no doubt about it. So as far as this upcoming season, kind of continuing on the first question I asked you about how you've grown as a player through these early experiences, but now you get to apply it to more of a veteran season. You kind of know what you're up against. Do you have any specific individual goals for yourself, whether it's a stat or an accolade or anything that really has your focus this offseason that, hey, once it's go time come August, I want to make sure that I individually improve this element of my game?
Definitely, you know, the run game, being, you know, the guy you can put in any type of run, counter, outside run, in between tackles, and then with the passing game, being a part of that. Okay. every chance I get, you know, swing route here and there, wheel route, and just being, you know, the guy that the coach can go to in any play. So
you feel good about your catchability? I'm gathering that from you. Yeah, I figured.
Oh, yeah. He feels really good because anytime you got speed, you know, and then you know you can catch, you like, you know, just put me out here in open
space.
Let
me go. Yeah.
Let me go. You know, Jeremiah's the type of guy that you can kind of put in the slot, you know, utilize him in matchups and against linebackers and safeties because he's expected to win those one-on-one matchups.
Yeah. So,
you know, I'm pretty sure that was a lot of things Coach Nitz and Coach Freeze going to have him doing a lot this year is, you know, being more on the football field, you know, especially because you're exceptional, you know, athleticism. Just talk about, you know, like we live in this, in the world of NIL, you know, which is a great thing for athletes now, but also in a locker room, how do you guys hold each other together without just, you know, because it is a different world. You know, I played in the NFL where everyone used to getting checks and everything, but now it's a different world in college and everything. Like, how do you keep the team together just as, like, staying focused? You know, you guys are 18 and 22-year-olds. You know, some of you guys like fast cars. Some of them like big trucks. Some of them like, you know, I don't want to spend no money. Some want to spend a lot of money. You know, like, how do you just – how does the world work in the NIL space now in a college locker room?
Well, I think our locker room does a great job of just, you know, keeping the money, like, to themselves and then just, you know, being a team. It's all about football. But then, you know, there's always those times where you talk about it. But when we talk about it, it's mostly, like, just, like, good information that they give us, really. The older guys give us, like, what to do with our money, invest it and all that stuff. And, like, you know, send it back home to your parents, so... It's never nothing bad about the money, so I think we do a great job with it, talking about that stuff.
Good. Well, let's just do a couple rapid fire to close this one out because we love to do that around here. Favorite food spot in Auburn?
Gosh, probably Fusackley's. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. What kind of music you listen to before games?
I listen to Rod Wave, only Rod Wave, nothing else.
Interesting. Nothing else. Yeah. When did that start?
That started way back in high school.
Really?
Yeah, all the time.
Okay.
Only thing I listen to.
Interesting. I like it. Which game do you consider the biggest rival?
The Iron Bowl, of course.
You have to, right?
Yeah.
What's the second?
Second, probably Georgia, probably.
Yeah. Georgia. I feel like that's starting to become a debate because of how close we are to the line.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
You know?
And they moved the game up. I wish the game was still in November.
Me too.
Yeah, me too. I don't know.
And I hate us not playing LSU this year.
Also yeah, I hate that too, actually. Yeah.
Yep.
That was a fun game last year.
We're all in agreement on that one. Always, like in years past, something weird always happens in that one. Yeah. So that's a shame to not have it. Best part of a home game day?
Definitely Tiger Walk and all the fans.
Y'all all say that. I got to walk through Tiger Walk one day because y'all love it.
There you go. Tell ESPN to put you in Tiger Walk when you play the game.
Honestly, that'd be a fun report. I should do that. Teammate that gets you the most fired up on game day?
Probably Damari. Something about Damari on game days. He's always excited, yeah.
I like it. I like it. And teammate that you would not want, probably going to be a defensive guy, that you are glad you don't have to face in a game. Who's just been a dog defensively?
I would probably say Austin Keys.
Okay.
Because yeah. I go against him every day at practice. So I know game time is a little different for him. So, yeah.
He's been around it a long time, so he knows what he's doing. That's for sure. Well, Jeremiah, so good chatting with you. I am so excited to see what else you do in your career. You've been off to a great start, but I have no doubt there's a lot more to come from you. So thank you so much for taking some time to chat with us. Best of luck this fall, and we look forward to cheering you on, War Eagle.
War Eagle, thank y'all.
Yeah, War Eagle, appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.